Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of the realm of heroes and monsters, Storytime, with me, your host, A.P. Fuchs. For those just tuning in to the podcast, I am a writer and artist from Winnipeg, Manitoba, a smack dab in the middle of the continent, if you look on it in a map, and I create stories involving monsters and superheroes. And right now, in terms of my personal work, I am in the middle of writing the latest three installments for the Axiom Man saga. These three installments are meant to wrap up the first act of the overall storyline. And I'm really excited because what's happening right now is I'm putting words to paper is some pretty cool stuff. Everything that's come before is lining up. Everything will make sense. You'll see the whole picture, the whole puzzle, the whole nine yards. So look out for that because the aim is to get it out by end of October of 2024. So get on them, guys. Send me good vibes because that's a lot of work to do. But in the meantime, today we are back again in the world of superheroes with Axiom Man. And this time he is going up against the undead, and it's coming from the anthology Metahumans versus the Undead. It is a wonderful anthology, and we're going to talk more about it in the story behind the story segment. But in the meantime, just relax, close your eyes, get into the world of heroes and zombies. There's something rotten up north. The operation had been simple. Dig through the cave-in of 97, secure the cave ceiling, then try and rediscover the vein of gold Old Man Rogers had claimed to have found before the roof came down. Harvey Goodwin had been in charge of the find, 1,000 meters below the Flin Flon mine. He knew from past experience that digging up an old cave-in was a bad idea. But the brass wanted their gold, and he wanted his job, so who is he to argue? But there was a problem. The cave-in had occurred 14 years ago, the miners who had been trapped having never been found, the area around the collapse, at the time, too unstable for a recovery dig. The town was outraged at the nonchalance of the mine, one that had been in operation for over 50 years, the country at large, even some places in the world, pouring in the hate mail and claiming company negligence. Except money talked, and those in charge walked, and as the years passed by, so did the memory of those lost. Harvey's brother, Lionel, had been part of the catastrophic dig. Went to work early one morning just like always, and never came home. Now, it was up to Harvey to slowly remove the giant rocks and debris and hope for a way through to the other side. But if his brother was indeed back there, if indeed Lionel and the crew hadn't found or attempted another way out, he shuddered at the thought of what he might find, the skeletons long buried. Harvey led his crew deep underground, bringing with them the rigs and tools required to carefully unearth what was supposed to be a major vein of gold. The other man and his crew were relatively new, most having started working at the mine after the accident. Deep in the dark, Harvey and his men got to work, testing the stones, checking for weaknesses. The lanterns they brought down and the battery-powered lights on their helmets did little to illuminate the inky darkness. An endless sea of shadows was the world around them, the rocks quiet, still, just waiting to reveal what was held within. "Gabriel," Rod Hunter shouted at him from behind his desk. "I said, get me a cup of coffee, not throw it on me." Gabriel Garrison stood there, shoulders slumped, a hollow pain circulating around his heart. He hated having to pretend to be such a klutz, but that was part of his disguise, one he started over a year ago and one he was lately beginning to regret having created. "Sorry, Mr. Hunter. Didn't mean to. Misjudged the distance between the edge of the table and your lap and..." Rod glared at him, eyes cool. Then, quickly, he stood and stormed out of his office, bumping Gabriel's shoulder in the process. "Go back to work," he said over his shoulder as he exited the room. Gabriel sighed and made his way back to his cubicle. Hours in a call center ticked by slowly on some days, each minute filled with angry clients wondering about charges on their credit cards and why the interest rates were so high. It wasn't the most glamorous job in the world, but it paid better than most out there and helped him keep a roof over his head. "Just don't know if I want to stay here forever," he thought, then sat down and put his headset back on. He stared at his monitor a moment before logging back into his phone and getting ready for the next call. The tone sounded in his ear, and the customer's file popped up on the screen. As he began the verification process, he noticed his email tab at the bottom of the monitor stating he had a couple of new messages. Quickly, he switched screens, temporarily distracted from the call. The new emails were all from a news feed across the web, all subscriptions based on keywords to help notify him if something terrible had happened outside the office's walls. "Hello? You there? Look, I'm..." The customer, a Mr. Andrews, didn't sound none too pleased. "Sorry about that," Gabriel said. Can I put you on hold for a moment?" "What? Why?" "Fine, whatever. Just don't take too long because I gotta head out in a minute." "Thank you." Gabriel hit the hold button, then double-clicked on the message that came in. One of his key words appeared several times in the article. Death. And it was local enough to be of concern. Flin Flon, Manitoba. Local residents of the well-known mining town are coming forward with reports of people disappearing on a regular basis, right now at an estimate of one person every 16 minutes. Also reported is a strange smell on the air, one a resident described as a mix of rotten meat and half-processed compost. RCMP are currently investigating the matter, but have ruled out the possibility of false reporting from the townsfolk. Many are fleeing the town, worried they might be the next to disappear. Rotten meat, compost. Gabriel knew the smell being described. He'd encountered it himself once before during an accidental trip to a parallel world while searching for a missing boy months ago. "I gotta go," he said to himself and stood from his chair. Rod was making his way back to his office between the cubicles, and the moment he caught sight of Gabriel, he gave him a firm look as he passed by and pointed with a rigid finger to the coffee stains on his pants. "He's going to kill me," Gabriel thought, adjusting his glasses. "But it has to be done." Though he hated doing it, he quickly disconnected his call with Mr. Andrews, turned off the phone, and logged off his machine. If Rod took note of it on his end, Gabriel would swiftly walk out of there and pretend to not notice him. Grabbing his cardigan, he threw it over his arm and headed toward the call floor's main door. In the hallway, he weaved through a few people getting off the elevator, rounded the corner, and hit the stairwell. The rooftop entrance he'd been using since almost the beginning of his crusade would be his ticket out of here. Taking the steps two at a time, he ran up the stairs, only slowing once when a few others were on their way down them, and picked up speed in his race to the top. Once there, he unlocked the padlock on the door, got inside, and immediately tore off his clothes to reveal the dark and light blue uniform underneath. Slowing his breathing, he focused and shifted, his powers igniting and sending a shockwave of energy through his system. Mask in place, Axiom Man took the ladder to the roof hatch, got outside, and closed the hatch behind himself. "North," he said. "Might take a while, but if what's going on up there is what I think it is, many more will die today." He ran to the roof's edge, threw out his arms, and took to the sky. When he first got his powers, Axiom Man had only been able to fly at around 60 kilometers an hour, but his powers had a secret function, he later learned. They operated on use. The more he used them, the stronger he got, the faster he could fly, the more damage the energy beams that blasted out of his eyes could cause. These days, he was hitting around 100 kilometers an hour. Not ultra speed by any stretch of the imagination, but one is traveling that fast with nothing between you and the wind blasting into your face but a thin piece of cloth, it was fast enough for the time being. About 8 hours later, some of the trip eyeing the skyline, the rest with his head down and cutting over the roads below, part of it to ensure he took the right way there, the other to avoid the wind slamming the air into the back of his throat and taking his breath away, Flin Flon finally came up on the horizon. All hills and valleys, with roads going up and down and buildings and houses set up along each. Enormous rocks and boulders covered the landscape. The town was empty. RCMP cars, 5 of them, dotted the streets. No sign of the officers. Having gone through this type of ghostly discovery before, Axiom Man got himself ready and made his descent into town, doing so as discreetly as possible by landing behind the Royal Hotel on Main Street. It was night. The street lights were lit up. Some folks are in bed, others... He knew what happened. The online newspaper had been right. Death was on the air. Axiom Man knew that smell all too well, and memories from his time encountering himself as an undead creature in an alternate universe crept into his mind, sending a shiver through him. He hoped that what was happening now wasn't his fault, that he hadn't somehow left a portal open and unknowingly let the undead through. He walked down the street, listening carefully for anything that might give away the presence of one of the undead. Wish I had X-ray vision, he thought. It would make this a lot easier and I could just scan the buildings. He kept close to the window displays of the stores, the mannequins within seeming all more lifelike as he stared out into the street. A shrill shriek pierced his ears. He immediately spun on the direction of the scream. Squinting against the dim streetlights, he said, "Come on, where are you?" His feet left the ground and he floated quickly down the street. The girl screamed again, louder. "I'm getting closer," he thought. Axiom Man kept up on the trail until he came upon an open field with few trees and a giant hill of rock that ran at least 200 feet high, a water tower for the town at the top. At the base of the hill, people loomed about, all gathered together, rocking side to side on their feet. Their moans were unmistakable. "I can't believe this has happened here," Axiom Man said to himself, and threw his arms out like before and gave it all he had, heading for the creatures. The shriek sounded again. "I'm coming," he called, and hit the brakes on his flight the moment he burst through the group of the undead. A woman lay on the ground, blonde hair, her black blouse and red skirt a mess of blood. Heavy hands immediately grabbed him by the shoulders in the moment his feet touched down. "Get away from me," he said, and punched the first of the dead between the eyes. The creature's head snapped back, and the crack of its vertebrae assured him of its demise. Taking a hand of another creature off his shoulder, Axiom Man jerked the undead man's arm free from its socket and kicked the creature in the chest, sending it flying back into the two others and giving him both him and the women on the ground some room. "Help me," the woman on the ground said. Axiom Man had just enough time to merely nod before a rotting teenager with half his skull missing threw itself at him. He delivered a swift punch across the teen's head, sending its jaw and skull into a 180. The teen hit the ground. Axiom Man readied his eyes, and his vision became masked in bright blue. He peered through the blue haze and focused on the faint outlines of the undead around him. He let the energy gush from his eyes, each blast hitting the dead head-on, wrecking burnt holes through their heads and chests. The moaning of the zombies crescendoed, then faded altogether. Axiom Man absorbed the energy back into his eyes, and all became clear again. The woman lay at his feet. I need... Each word barely came out. Axiom Man knelt down, about to pick her up and take her to the hospital, then saw why the woman could barely speak. On the other side of her body was one of her lungs, torn clean out through the ribcage that was supposed to protect it. "It's okay. I've got you," he said, as gently as possible. But his words were too late. She was dead. All he could do was slowly stand up and let his heart sink into his stomach. The rotting corpses of the undead lay strewn about, their carcasses smoking after receiving a healthy dose of blue energy. "I'm sorry," was all he could manage to say to the woman. "I hope you're in a better place now." But he knew that wasn't true. If she was like the other undead he'd encountered in his life, very shortly she'd return and try and eat him. Doing his best to ignore what he was doing and just get it over with, Axiom Man sent a quick shot of blue energy between the woman's eyes, straight into the brain. He hoped it would keep her down. Fighting the heaviness of guilt at what he'd just done, despite the woman potentially becoming a monster, killing was killing. He floated up to the top of the giant rocky hill and stood next to the water tower looking out over the town. He wondered how many of the people out there were alive and how many were dead. Except whoever is alive are either boarded up in a house or seeking safety out of town. From his vantage point, he took note of the many cars missing from driveways. Some of the roads were streaked with black skid marks as, no doubt, people made a squealing getaway. There was no manual for doing what he did, and what the comics and movies preached about being a superhero was bunk. Finding clues or just knowing what to do was not how this job played out. Sometimes it was mere chance he was able to put things together and solve an issue as quickly as he could. Other times, the trail went cold, cases unsolved, people never brought to justice. The loud crack of a gun tore through the silence. He scanned below for the source of the sound. Another crack went off, and he thought he caught a quick flash in his peripheral. Swiftly, he flew off the rock and headed toward where he thought the flash came from. The gun went off again. Axiom Man adjusted his course. Below, a couple of people, coated in shadow, ran down the street. A little further away, a handful of creatures shuffled after them. Beyond the undead, bodies dotted the ground. Axiom Man kicked up the speed, swiftly flew over the running people's heads, and landed on the other side of them, ready to face the creatures head on. Six zombies stumbled toward him, four male, two female, all in various stages of decay, the worst mostly tattered flesh and bone. Eyes fixed on him, the dead rallied around, hands already pawing at the air, eager to get a grip. The sudden memory of having been in this position before, Axiom Man found his attitude and posture adjusting. It was time to do what needed to be done, or more lives would be in danger. Two of the undead men grabbed his arms from either side. With a mighty pull, Axiom Man yanked them in front of him, slamming their bodies together. The men's heads smacked into each other and cracked upon impact. Black blood leaked from the fractures in their skulls. Another push and pull, and the two bodies collided again, their heads gushing open, black blood and gray matter spilling out. The undead bodies went limp in his hands. He dropped them, ready to take on the female coming toward him. Her spacey glare reminded him that the undead were merely shells of human beings, a kind of machine simply running on autopilot, just going through the motions. The zombie woman's mouth was open. He put his hand out to stop her. Her head and mouth changed course and went immediately for his fingers. Axiom Man snatched his fingers away and jumped into the air, delivering a hard kick to her chest. Ribs cracked beneath his foot on impact. She tumbled backward. He landed on top of her. Another kick, and he sent her head flying off her body like a soccer ball. Two undead men and one undead woman remained. Axiom Man quickly scanned the street, checking to see if the two folks running from the undead were still around. He couldn't see them, but that didn't mean they were gone. He had to quickly refocus his attention on the zombified man that clawed at his stomach as if trying to dig through his intestines. With a shove, Axiom Man pushed the man's hand away, spun around, and back-fisted the zombie in the head. The creature dropped. Before he could check if the monster was dead, the remaining female came, a blonde, one whose wax, paper-like skin hung on her skeleton as though it was a silk nightgown on a hanger. He reached around and grabbed her by the back of the head. Taking off high into the air, he brought her up, body up, then dove straight down toward the ground and slammed it face down into the pavement, shattering her face and mushing it into pulp. There was no way she was rising again. The last undead just stood there, his gaze empty. Axiom Man prepared himself for an attack, but instead the creature just slowly shuffled from foot to foot. Attacking me or not, he has to die, Axiom Man thought. He let his eyes fill with blue energy that sent a quick zap through the air and shot the creature in the head. The zombie hit the pavement and moved no more. Okay, need to find those people, he said. Make sure they're all right. His feet left the ground. A second later, something grabbed his ankle and tugged him back down. The zombie he wasn't sure was dead, or still had not, had some fight left. Landing, Axiom Man pulled his foot away, planted his feet firmly, and delivered a hard punch to the side of the zombie's head, causing it to swivel on its neck almost a full 360. Axiom Man was already in the sky before the thing hit the ground. Now, from this high vantage point, he could survey the area for any more survivors and hopefully confirm the two he just saved were indeed okay. The lot of Mike's Eisenberger hut was empty, not a single car. The KFC parking lot across the street had just one vehicle, a rusty old truck with a smashed window, but no sign of life. Even the undead seemed to be absent at the moment. To the left, two bodies were scaling the high and steep rock face leading up to the town's water tower. I was just there, Axiom Man thought. He flew in for a closer look. When the people came into focus, he was relieved to see it was the same two he had just rescued. Below, shambling through the field toward the rock, were several rows of zombies traveling in a staggered line. Axie Man bent forward and flew to the rock face, landing on a small outcrop of rock just as the two folks climbed their way to the same point. When they arrived face to face with him, they were void of expression, almost as if they had expected him to catch up with them. "Don't mean to startle you," Axie Man said, "but..." "You didn't," the man cut in. His wavy black hair blew in the breeze. The redhead, with a face covered in freckles, eyed Axie Man up and down. "Let's keep moving." She glanced down to the rock's base where the zombies began to gather. "Good idea," the man said. Axie Man held out his hands, palms up. "Let me take you." The man looked at the redhead, then down to his feet. "Yeah, whatever." Axie Man stepped forward, reached around both of their waists, then floated to the top of the rock. He landed when he was sure it was safe and that nothing had somehow stumbled its way up there from the other side. He let go of them and took a couple of steps back. "Thank you," the woman said. "I'm Ivy." She gestured to the man. "This is Ross." "Pleasure to make your acquaintance," Axie Man said. He didn't want to spend too much time on pleasantries, so he cut right to it. "When did this happen?" "Those things?" Ivy said. Axie Man nodded. "Yesterday. Late. There were a bunch of them. From what I know, based on what Ross told me and what I saw, it seems quite a few of those things came down from the hills and made their attack." "Probably easy beat things to beat to a point," Ross said. "But I saw folks going up to them, probably thinking they were just people in makeup acting weird. You know, for show. I mean, if it does anything right, it's drinking. So seeing people acting stupid is nothing out of the ordinary. Especially when you know everyone," Ivy said. "Either go up and laugh with them, or see if they're all right if they look like they're having trouble or something." The groans of the dead called from below. Axie Man peered over the edge. Some had made it a few feet up the rock to where it was more level, like stairs. They hadn't figured out the steeper parts yet. "Then?" Axie Man asked. "Don't know," Ross said and put his hands on his hips. "Seems their numbers just grew. Anyone who approached them were quickly mauled, some even devoured. Other folks just went missing. Some of the boys and I pulled out our rifles and tried to rescue who we could. Problem was, the things wouldn't stay down. Only a couple did, but I don't know why. Maybe to hit them in their Achilles heel, if they have one." "The head," Axie Man said immediately. "If these dead were vulnerable the same way as the ones in the parallel universe, then by removing the head or killing the brain, the creatures would die and stay dead." "How do you know?" Ron asked. "Experience." "Do tell." Ivy said, "In the end, that's what we do. Try and what? Shoot him in the head?" "Yes," Axie Man said. To Ross. "Still have your gun?" The man shook his head. "Lost it while running." "Nowhere?" "Somewhere up on Hillcrest." "And that's..." He glanced back over his shoulder and did a nod in that direction. "Up and over, more at the top of the hill, past the lights, a bit on the other side of the church with the big silver spires." "I'll try and retrieve it," Axie Man said. He glanced over the edge. The dead were still far below. Ivy and Ross were safe for now. "Thank you," Ross said, and, after a second of hesitation, held out his hand for a handshake. Axie Man shook it, then flew into the air. Up and over, he thought as he kept around 25 feet above ground level. He could make out most of the street signs from his vantage point and only dip lower if he needed a closer look. "Searching for a rifle for somebody. This is a new one," he said quietly. Zombies roamed the street below, most just aimlessly wandering up and down the streets in search of their next meal. No sign of human life anywhere. Finally, Axie Man found Hillcrest and flew up and down the street, searching for Ross's rifle. Nothing. He even checked the neighboring streets. Aside from the dead, parked cars and a bit of trash, there was nothing to be found. He kicked on the speed and flew back to where Ross and Ivy stood waiting for him atop the enormous, steep, rocky hill. "Get it?" Ross asked. Axie Man shook his head. "Sorry." "Great," he said. "Thanks a lot." "Hey!" Ivy shouted and gave Ross a hard nudge in the arm. "It's okay," Axie Man said. "It's all right." He crossed his arms. "Do you folks have anywhere safe you can go?" We were trying to make it out of town, Ivy said. That's when he found us. No car? They shook their heads. You'd be better off staying inside. Nuh-uh, she said. Not sure if you noticed, but some of the houses have their windows smashed. Those things are relentless if the wind were around. True, he thought. Where are you headed? Baker's Narrows, Ross said. There are some cabins there. Probably some folks that would accommodate us, or maybe we could find one that's empty. We figure those things haven't made it that far, and if you lock ourselves in, we'd be safe until this blows over. If it blows over, Ivy said. All right, Axeman said, I'll take you. But first, Ivy, you said the creatures came from the hills. Which hills, exactly? Next to the mine, or thereabouts. That was where people first saw them. Axeman glanced past the roads, boulders, and high rocky hills to the shadows of the smokestack and mine shaft at the end of town. Then I'll head there, he thought. Here, he said, and held out his hands. Let me take you to where you need to go. Finding Ross and Ivy an empty cabin didn't take as long as Axeman expected. The first one, a pine-sided bungalow, no one answered the door, but not for lack of people within. Axeman heard voices murmuring inside, but figured if they didn't want help, he wasn't going to push them and cause them even more trouble. The second cabin, tall, fancy, with a low and high balcony, treated them to a man with a shotgun, a family behind him sitting at the kitchen table. Instead of ripping the gun from his hands, Axeman opted to feign weakness and carefully step away, Ross and Ivy in tow. The third cabin brought them safety. It was small, faint yellow, and slightly worn, but upon inspection of the interior, once no one answered the door, they discovered a cellar beneath a trap door. Perfect. And either those who lived there had fled and left the door unlocked, or the trio simply got lucky. Either way, it was a blessing Axeman was happy to have. Leaving Ross and Ivy behind was a bit unsettling, but Axeman also knew that Ross was an able-bodied chap and that he and Ivy should be okay. The man had preserved their lives thus far, anyway. Getting back to town was done quickly, Axeman keeping high above the treetops, covering as much ground as possible, heading straight for the mineshaft. Below, the undead lotted the landscape, some seeming to be feasting on people, others simply stumbling about. From up here, if it wasn't for their slow movements giving them away, the dead could easily be mistaken for the living. Axeman dropped down in front of the mineshaft. All apparent accent points were closed. They came from the hills, Ivy said. They came from the... He jogged around the lot out front of the shaft while also keeping his eyes on the surrounding rock for any undead visitors. All seemed clear. What about... He floated into the air, getting a better view. There has to be something. Except he couldn't see anything but a handful of empty parked cars, a foreman's trailer, doors closed, and a stretch of chain-link fence with large, out-of-date mining equipment sitting behind it. Axeman touched down again, wondering if Ivy's statement of the dead coming from the hills was true. He drew closer to the base of the towering smokestack. When he was a mere 5 or 6 feet away, waspy groans grew in the air, seeming to come from either side. Axeman checked left and right, but what he found was, well, he was all alone. Facing the smokestack again, an undead man shuffled out from behind it, the creature's face dry, gray, and hollow. It wore a tattered flannel plaid shirt and overalls. Another zombie stumbled in behind it, a girl, large and covered in blood from the neck down, wearing nothing but a dirty green nightgown that was torn at the hem, revealing more than Axeman wanted to see. The two undead moved toward him, mouths open, eyes wide, utterly zoned in on making him their next meal. Taking several steps back, he readied his fists. More groans rose on the air. These came from behind. At least 10 more undead emerged from the other side of the large boulders, some from lower levels in the ground. He hadn't seen them because he hadn't flown high enough when he did his hovering scan of the area. Besides, aside from a few lights, it was hard to see here. Lesson noted, he thought, thankful that even though he was still learning the ropes of being a proficient crusader as possible, that at least he learned most of his lessons with little to no harm. So far, anyway. The man who'd come out from behind the smokestack moved his jaws up and down, as if already tasting Axeman's flesh. He was quickly dealt with by a swift blow to the head, the creature's skull swiveling on its neck, the vertebrae snapping. The chubby large woman stepped out on top of her kin the moment the dead man hit the ground, arms out, fingers opening and closing as she attempted to get a hold at the top of Axie Man's cape. Axie Man snapped out a fist to the woman's mouth. He felt his knuckles scrape across her jagged teeth, but fortunately they didn't pierce the fabric of his glove. Past experience in the parallel universe showed him that the undead gained his powers if his blood entered their system. The strength of his blow was enough to make her stumble back several steps. With a quick lunge forward, he swung at her head again, this time his fist connecting full force, his immense strength being enough to crack the woman's skull open and for her brain to leak out around his fingers. He shook the gray matter off his hand and faced the oncoming horde. There were even more than when he last looked, no more than double. 25, 26, maybe. No point taking them all on, he thought, then realized he had no choice but to do so to ensure the threat of the undead wouldn't spread beyond the town, if it hadn't already. Make it quick, he told himself, and powered up his eyes. Immediately, his vision was masked in bright blue light, the figures and shapes of the dead just beyond the like blue silhouettes against the bright blue sky of his vision. He rose into the air and quickly hugged his knees up to his hips when he felt a pair of hands grab onto his feet. He shook the creature off, banked to the right, and proceeded in what he hoped was a circle around the undead horde. Blue energy gushed forth from his eyes. The groaning calls of the dead and their wild grunts and shrieks told him he was hitting his targets. Doing his best to maintain course despite his limited sight due to his eye beams, Axie Man gave it all he had and cut down every blue shadow he saw. They better all be dead, because what if one of those shadows was someone who was really alive and needed his help? He rose higher into the air, keeping a safe distance from the dead below, and let the energy leave his eyes. On the ground, over half of the undead had been cut down, their bodies amassed as severed limbs, heads and torsos littering the ground in piles of flesh and pools of black, coagulated blood. Some of the remaining zombies gazed up at him, while others merely gazed off into the distance elsewhere, probably having no clue as to what they were looking at and just checking for their next meal. Fortunately, no human survivors had stumbled into the fray. Axie Man powered up his eyes from where he floated, a solid 30 feet from the ground, and picked off the dead one by one, aiming his eye beams for the middle of their foreheads when possible. The undead dropped, bodies crumpling, to the ground. All were dead and would stay dead. He scanned the rocky hill, the roadway next to the mine, and spotted more undead in the distance. He might as well eradicate those while he had the mind to, and then get back on to surveying the area afterward. Axie Man headed toward them. Throwing out both fists ahead of him, he kicked up his speed and flew as fast as he could, skirting the ground, fists aimed square on the first of the shambling zombies in front of him. His fist connected bang on, and the force of the impact was enough to cleave the head from the zombie's rotting neck. He pulled the same maneuver on a second, then finished off three more with his eye beams. When he had first encountered the undead in that parallel universe, the fighting had been more hands-on and took longer to complete. The undead there versus the ones here. There didn't seem to be that much of a difference. With experience comes speed, he surmised, and touched down. More drones of the dead filled his ears, their deathly calls permeating him to the core despite having heard them many times before. Their calls carried an undertone of agony, as if somewhere deep inside there was still the living person, and now helpless prisoner inside a rotting shell of flesh. Whether that was true or not, he didn't know, and right now wasn't the time to theorize about the deceased. The zombies groaned, some of the calls hollow, echoey. Faint patches of loose gravel, dust and dirt blotted the rocky surface. In some parts, he could make out where the undead's feet scraped against the ground. Axie Man's own feet left the ground so as to not obscure what might be a trail, and he followed as best he could until he hit a rocky alcove with large chunks of rock strewn about its mouth. Moans of the dead sounded from its dark entrance. "From the hills," Ivy said. "But it doesn't mean they came from here." He debated if he should head into the mining tunnel and take out whatever undead were within, or hope they came out on their own and he would take care of them out in the open. But if indeed Ivy was right, then this area in general would be the place to stop the dead's advance. Of course, there'd have to be an origin point, but still. More moans floated on the air. With a deep breath, Axie Man lit up his eyes just enough to illuminate the dark mine tunnel ahead, and with one steady foot placed in front of the other, he made his way in. To ensure he didn't accidentally trip over any stray stones or sudden drops in the rocks, he floated a few inches above the ground, making his way forward. The dank smell of the tunnel reminded him of wet socks and grass, and he was thankful he had the thin layer of his mask's fabric over his mouth to help stifle the stench. The tunnel went straight for a few minutes before taking a sharp turn to the right and suddenly dropping a few feet before resuming to a straight path again. Groundwater rushed somewhere in the distance, though Axie Man figured it was more an echo effect rather than the water actually being near. However, the white noise of the water's movement made listening for anything else more difficult. Up ahead, the tunnel took another turn. The faint dark blue outlines of scattered rocks, some as big as a car tire, others as small as a baseball, sat in a pile to either side. The hairs on the back of his neck stood on end. The smell had gotten worse. Much worse. The stench of rotten meat replaced the musty smell from before and made him gag. Hands lashed around his waist from behind. He immediately took hold of the cold appendages and pulled, slamming whoever they belonged to against his back. The force of yanking them forward so hard ripped the arms from the sockets. There was a tug on his cape as something collapsed onto it. With a quick spin in the air, he threw the thing off him, tearing his cape in the process. The shadow of a body slammed against the wall. No scream, just the meaty thunk as the armless torso hit the ground. If it had been human, it would be wailing and certainly not trying to get to its feet. Axie Man let loose a blast of blue energy from his eyes, burning a large hole through the undead creature, cutting it down the middle. Each half of the body fell to either side. Ahead, the sound of rushing water grew. He relit his eyes and made his way further into the tunnel, the rocks and boulders he spotted earlier now beside him. For what he knew about not mines, after a blast, debris was hauled out, making room for the miners to come in and do their work or blast further. These rocks remained, which meant that either the undead attacked before the workers had a chance to finish their job, or this was where the undead originated. The putrid smell grew increasingly vile the further he went in, and Axie Man had to stop, put a palm over his mouth, and put his head between his knees. "Keep it together. You've been through worse." A quick mental flash of fighting Red Saw, his bloodthirsty enemy with similar powers to him. The day the doorway of darkness opened filled his mind's eye. Is this surfacing of the dead a result of the doorway as well? He knew it was the lingering black cloud from when the doorway of darkness first opened that acted as a portal and swept him into that other universe with the undead. But that cloud was in the city. I'm hundreds of kilometers up north inside a mine. There's no way. The air suddenly grew thin, the stench of decay making his eyes water and his stomach roil with discomfort. The tunnel took a sharp turn to the right, deep and far. The sound of the moving water cut in half. The path must have put up a thick wall of rock between him and the water thanks to this turn. Now he could hear the moans and the soft sound of scraping on the rock. The monsters filled the darkness, their foul hisses sending the sound of demonic serpents through his heart and stomach. First hands gripped him on the right and jerked him sideways. Axie Man lunged out with his fists, catching something with his knuckles, but it was too soft to be a head. Another pair of hands grabbed him from behind and pulled him back so far his body couldn't take the arc and he fell on his backside. With a scream, he let loose the energy from his eyes, stood and spun in a circle. Bits of rocks and debris from the tunnel walls sprayed out, several of the pieces cutting into him. Shrieks echoed in the tunnel, then silenced. Axie Man let the light fade from his eyes, now nothing but black pitch around him. A raspy groan. Ignoring the sting of over a dozen cuts, he relit his eyes again, just enough to see what was around. The undead were coming toward him from either side, emerging from shadows along the side walls and from the black abyss further down the tunnel. There was no way out. Bouncing on his toes a couple of times, he decided it'd be too dangerous to try and take them out all at once, even with his eye beams. Though he wasn't one on to retreat it, it was only his only option. He turned around, facing the direction he came from, and rose into the air, his body hugging the roof and jagged ceiling. The ceiling's terrain was uneven, and he had to be careful not to snag his shoulder or back or even head and neck against a small outcrop of rock, otherwise he might quickly find himself face first on the hard floor, or worse, spilling blood into the open maws of the creatures below. He moved as swiftly as possible, flying above the heads of the undead, the underside of his body scraping against fingers reaching up to grab him. A low drop of the ceiling appeared in front of him. Axie Man took a quick mental snapshot of what it looked like, then fired up his eyes and dropped his flight level by half. Immediately he was submerged in a sea of the dead, their filthy and rotten bodies crowding around him as he flew through, his speed too fast for them to get a solid hold on him. Some of the dead stumbled off to the wayside as he plowed through them. A couple others took his fists in the gut and rode with him for a moment like dirt in a plow before dropping underneath him. Blasting hard, Axie Man shot the energy forth from his eyes and cut down the undead in front of him. Groans and screeches echoed throughout the tunnel. Figuring he was past the sudden drop in the ceiling, he cut the light in his eyes in half, enabling him to see through a bluey haze. A wall came up before him. He banged sharply to the left, nicking his shoulder on the rock. Something cracked inside, and a blaze of pain shot through his shoulder, arm, and collarbone. All feeling left his arm, and it came back full force and blinding fury. He couldn't move it. Screaming, he instinctively slowed down. The moans of the dead echoed behind. Two creatures were up ahead. Angry, hurt, and his heart quickening from the pain and the growing claustrophobic, Axie Man blasted the undead in front of him. He had already flown past them before he heard the thunk of their bodies hit the ground. Sweating, heart pounding, he spotted the entrance to the tunnel up ahead, the moonlight from the outside brighter than he remembered it. Emerging out of the entrance, he cut the light from his eyes, turned around midair, and landed. After a quick check for the undead and seeing a few more about 30 feet off, he pumped up the energy in his eyes until there was nothing but blue-white before his vision. Letting loose with all he had, he fired the energy straight ahead, then to either side of the tunnel's entrance. The thunder cracks, a rocky explosion sent his ears ringing. Dust mushroomed from where the energy beams connected with the rocks and rushed toward him, instantly filling his nostrils and mouth. He didn't care. He took off into the air, cut the energy from his eyes, and surveyed the ground below. Though dust obscured most of it, he thought it appeared like he'd sealed off the tunnel. He took a shot off either side of the main entrance. These ones with a little less force, enough to crack the rocks and force them to collapse in on themselves. Coughing against the dust that coated his mask, Axie Man pulled it down, exposing his face to the fresh air. His arm hung limp at his side. A fresh streak of pain shot through his shoulder. Adrenaline pumping, the need to escape and seal off the tunnel having overwhelmed him, he didn't realize it had been dislocated. Shouting from the pain, he knew he had to figure out how to fix it, but not before dispatching the dead stumbling toward the blast site below. Batting most of the dust off his mask with his good hand, he pulled it back in place over his face and felt close to the creatures and picked them off with his energy beams before going higher in the sky, surveying the town below. Cradling his arms, his muscles tensing all over from the pain, he didn't know how much more he could take. He spotted a couple more straggling undead below and took them out. On the horizon, coming in between a mountain of rock that had been blasted in halfway back when the roads were being made, were a couple of tanks, military jeeps, a truck, and something else that he couldn't make out this far away. Finally, the cavalry had arrived. Flying over as fast as he could, he landed on the roadway far enough from the lead tank for it to stop. Its engine rumbled, shaking the ground. A moment later, the top hatch to the Hank opened, and a soldier decked out in full gear popped his head out. "How bad is it?" the soldier asked. It wasn't the greatest question to broach what was happening, but at least Axie Man was able to provide them an answer. Wincing, he said, "Better. Most have been sealed off in a tunnel near the mine." "I hope." He pointed toward the tall red mine shaft in the distance. The soldier must have seen the dust still floating on the air because the man nodded. "But there are a few stragglers. Was able to stop a bunch of them, but a full sweep of the town and surrounding area needs to be conducted, otherwise we run the risk of one or more getting away. The cops? All dead." The soldier nodded again, then pulled his walkie to his mouth. Axie Man grimaced beneath his mask, the pain growing so much it was all he could think about and couldn't hear what the soldier was saying. His arm... "Hey!" the soldier shouted. Axie Man looked up at him. "You all right? I thought you were bulletproof." He took a deep breath. "Not quite." "I'll live." The soldier thumbed over his shoulder. "Got a medical jeep back there. Go get fixed up, then help us ensure this town goes on lockdown until the threat is eliminated." Not caring that he was getting an order, he simply nodded, floated a couple feet off the ground, and went toward the jeep with a female soldier sticking her head out the passenger side window and waving him down. Behind him, the lead tank rumbled its engine and continued down the road. Some of the other jeeps followed. The tank in the rear rounded the vehicle he was next to. The woman asked, "Never thought I'd see the day when this would happen." "Don't think that. Besides, no one would have imagined." She looked at him crossly, as if he insulted her personally. "I did." As firmly as possible, he said, "Waiting for something like this to happen means you expect the worst. Means you've lost hope." He didn't mean to lecture, but his shoulder hurt so bad he wasn't in the mood for anything else negative. The world's a different place now," he said, thinking back to the doorway of darkness and how its emergence into the world changed the fabric of existence, opening up possibilities of disaster even worse than what he went through tonight. He floated back to the ground. "I guess you're right," she said. "The dead have come back to life. Know how?" "No," he said. "Not completely. But I think whatever the answer is, it lies in that mine I sealed off. The real question is if you want to open it to find out." "Pandora's box." He nodded. "Yeah." She stepped out of the jeep and felt up and down his arm, his shoulder. "It's dislocated," he said. She called for a couple of soldiers to come down and help her put it back in place. "This is going to hurt." "Just get it over with," he said. Gunshots echoed from the town. The blast of the tank went off, thunder on the air. The soldiers grabbed him, one in the front, one in the back. Without even counting it off, the one in front pulled his arm down and forward, then pushed it back while the other soldier held him firm. With a loud, dull thwack, white pain shot through his arm and shoulder, all sensation gone from his hand and arm. "Thanks," he said, though it wasn't sure if that was actually the word he said. The soldiers let go of him and he teetered on his feet. "You okay, bub?" one of the soldiers asked, a big guy, at least 250 pounds. "No, but I'll manage," Axiom Man said. The soldier helped him steady him. Thanking them one last time, Axiom Man rose into the air and headed back toward the town. He had a job to finish. All right, welcome to the story behind the story. And what you just heard was a story from the book Metahumans vs. the Undead. The title, Something Rotten Up North, which of course was stated earlier. But I wanted to talk about this anthology. This came out in 2011, okay? So this was around the time when the Kindle boom was occurring. So prior to that point, in terms of independent superhero fiction, your selection was extraordinarily limited. I mean, I remember when Axiom Man started in 2006, I was one of literally a half dozen people doing superhero fiction, and that's it. That's all I could find when I had searched for things on Amazon and the rest of the web. It was just a handful of people. And then later, some other people came along, and then so on, and then, of course, the independent publishing boom and blah, blah, blah. But the point is, during the zombie craze, I decided, you know what, I have a bunch of friends who have superhero creations of their own, and I wanted to do a superheroes versus zombie anthology. But at the same time, too, at that time, Marvel Zombies was out. And I didn't want the anthology to come off as like a ripoff of that, right? So to kind of distinguish it, I did two things. One was, instead of calling them zombies, I called them the undead. And instead of superheroes, I called them metahumans. And we started with that, and it was an invite-only anthology, and because it was invite-only, it wasn't meant to be elitist or exclusive in that context. It was meant simply just because I knew these guys had independent heroes, and I wanted to publish them, and I wanted them to create stories of superheroes versus zombies, because Marvel Zombies was like the Marvel characters in zombie form. So in this case, I wanted to create like a combative anthology of these exciting tales of these independent superheroes going after it. So if you have not read Metahumans vs. the Undead, I highly recommend it, especially if you're into the idea of new takes on superheroes, new concepts, new ideas, you know, or spins on old concepts, that kind of stuff. You're going to get a whole bunch in here. Because, I mean, this book here has, you know, people like, well, we had Axiom Man, of course. And then, of course, there's Shadow Flame, which is awesome. There's the Wraith, there's Nightcat, there's Spectralite, Midnight Angel, and more. And it's awesome. Like, it's a really good book. So anyway, the point is, that plug aside, that's kind of the story behind the story, is just I wanted to assemble it. Now, in terms of location, Flin Flon, that's a family history thing for me. And I've been up there a few times. It's a beautiful town. I love being up there. The rocks are extraordinarily huge and extraordinarily high. And the entire town is like one giant hill and valley experience. I mean, like, the streets are so steep. Like, we're talking, oh gosh, if you want to do an angle, maybe like 55, 60 degrees. Like, it's steep stuff. It's not like your standard 45 or anything like that. It's well past that. And I mean, I used to hear stories from my dad where him and his buddies would, because that's where he grew up, where would take their bikes and they would like rip down the street, gravity taking over, and they're going, I don't know how fast, but obviously very fast if you ever took in your bike down a hill. And then there's like a traffic stop like right there at the end of the hill. So I'm like, it's like a suicide mission. It's crazy. But I wanted to kind of honor that town, honor that part of my heritage, and just bring it to light, you know. I mean, a lot of people don't know where Flin Flon is. And, you know, it's northern Manitoba. It's about approximately, you know, depending on pit stops and stuff, 9 to 10 hours away from Winnipeg, depending how you drive. And by flight, I don't know how fast, but it's pretty quick. And yeah, it's a great place to visit. So that's my little tourist plug for that. But in the end, that was the story behind my story. And then I just gave you the story behind the book itself that is involved in. So I encourage you to check out the MetaHumans Versus series because it is very cool. Now, last part. What do we do after this segment? Well, we have the credits run. But then after the credits, I'm going to tell you about the parallel universe that was referenced in this story, because this story was written after that experience for Axiom Man. So I will see you after the credits. Thanks for sticking around after the credits. And here we are. We're going to talk about Axiom Man, the Deadland. This is the parallel universe adventure that was referenced in the story you just heard. But before I talk about that, you also heard a quick reference to the Doorway of Darkness. There's a book, super thick book, in the Axiom Man saga called Doorway of Darkness. And the purpose of that book was to basically kick off the entire saga as a whole. There's also a book spotlight on that book on this channel, so feel free to check it out. But in the meantime, yes, Axiom Man and the Deadlands. So this is Axiom Man versus Zombies. And I even got so far as having the artist put me, the cover artist, and the colorist on the cover in cameo, just because we wanted to be vain and arrogant that way. Ha ha ha. But regardless, this is one of my favorite covers ever. Just the stark contrast between the undead and Axiom Man being a very bright beacon of blue amongst this grim landscape. Very, very cool. So if you're doing the listen watch version on YouTube, then you're seeing the book cover now. If you're not, if you're doing this purely audio, just kind of imagine a bunch of dead people in really grays and browns surrounding a bright blue hero. And that kind of gives you a visual of the cover. And of course, there'll be links available as to where this can be picked up. But this storyline was the one where there's a boy had gone missing, and Axiom Man had, in short, investigated the matter and found himself in a universe filled with the undead. So that's where that comes from. So you guys should better check that out if you like. And in the meantime, will there be more Axiom Man versus Zombies short stories? Well, I'm sure it's inevitable, because I like zombies. They're fun. And I like the slow shamblers. I like the fast ones. I wrote a trilogy called the Undead World Trilogy, where we dealt with all sorts of zombies, with big ones, small ones, giant ones. We had the sprinters in there. We had the slow, stupid ones. We had everybody, because the point was to just, like, unleash the zombie horde on the city. So, yeah, the Undead World Trilogy, 3 books, Blood of the Dead, Possession of the Dead, and Redemption of the Dead. And that's my little commercial for that. But outside of that, thanks so much again for joining me this week. Great. Please subscribe, like, and comment. Share this podcast. I would very much like more people to hear the stories of superheroes and monsters. Have a blessed day. Peace.